to change what I was going to start off with, because on the way over here, this just fits so good that I couldn't even resist doing it. But anyway, we're on our way over here, and Dave, Ruth's brother, called her and talked to her on the phone. And as you all may know, Ruth had a birthday a couple of days ago, December 9th, and none of her sons called her, and so that was a big deal, and only two of her brothers, and Dave was one of those that didn't call, and so she was ready for him with news that you're not, and of course in our home, we have a calendar, and I couldn't tell you when my sister's birthday was, but she gets a card every year because Ruth has that on the calendar, and it just goes out. Now, I don't know how it got there. It's always got my signature on it, so I just don't know how all that happens. But anyway, birthdays are really important, and we're kind of talking here, and I am talking tonight about the preparation for the baby that's coming. And last time I talked about Elizabeth and the baby that she had, and kind of bypassed the discussion of Jesus' birth, and did so on purpose with the idea that I would talk about Jesus' birth tonight, or the preparation for it, not the birth. Next Wednesday we'll talk about the birth and the impact of that. So I'm just really kind of talking about the baby's birth, the preparation. And I entitled this Unplanned. Unplanned. God's plan for you is one thing. Your plans may be your plans, but you can make those plans. God's plans for you may cause you to find out that your plans don't work. Plans for the celebration of Christmas. And you know, we get into a lot of things that we do at Christmas time because it's tradition. In 1970 or such a matter, why my wife and I were playing cards with my brother, and it was approaching Christmas season, and we were doing it because his wife, Nancy, was so pregnant that she could hardly move. And we were just spending the quiet evening really playing probably Old Maid or something like that. I don't think we really were paying too much attention because we thought at any moment she was going to go. And Matt, one of the reasons we'd gone out there was because she was so due that we thought we'd be caring for the baby, the other babies. And anyway, we left 2:30 at night, such a matter, thinking that, well, it wasn't going to happen tonight. So we hustle home down I-75 from Richardson, Texas. And about the time that we get to the house, why, apparently, things came due, and David rushed, and he got down Highway 75 to about even with where our home is, our house was, and he pulled over and delivered Brad, his youngest boy. So, anyway, he has something to tell a story about, and David waved at the doctor as he drove speedily by on the highway going to the hospital. So the doctor didn't even recognize who it was. So anyway, unplanned. So many of us prepare for Christmas, prepare things for Christmas, goods to eat, things to do, decorations, putting up lights. And you know, some of that is really fun and good, interesting, and it's good for us, good for our morale and our thought process, I think. Driving home from college, I always remembered going down from Topeka, Kansas, down the highway. As you go through the little towns for Thanksgiving vacation, there would be nobody hardly around and except the shoppers in the town. There wasn't anything particularly going on. And then in those days, they put the Christmas decorations up, Thanksgiving holidays. They didn't do it 5 weeks before Thanksgiving. They did it back in Thanksgiving. So when we would drive back to school, we'd be going through one town after another, little towns. They had big lighting, light fixtures and trees and all sorts of things. Good experience and kind of interesting and exciting. And, of course, in the 1950s, you know, Sears and Roebuck had this little animal they called Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. And I don't know how many of you got just absolutely sick of that song in the Sears store, but they played it over and over and over again. And then why is it that every time I was in the Christmas pageant, I had to be a shepherd boy? Anyway, I never did understand that. But we did these things. We do these things in preparation, I guess, for what we think is the celebration of Christmas. And we've kind of made Christmas something more than it really is, just a birthday celebration. We've made it more and more. And some people don't even get around to celebrating the birthday. First, though, if we're going to talk about preparation for the child's birth, we're going to look at Psalm 123 and Psalms, the whole Psalm, Psalm 123. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of the mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O God. O Lord, because have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with contempt of the proud. Well, then if you go on over to Jeremiah 6:16, and then I read through 19, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregations, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor unto my law, but rejected it. And this is a type of the country that we find when, you know, we're considering the days before the birth of Christ. In actuality, it was people were sinful. People were not good then. People were evil. It is really hard to think of the situation in those days being anything like what we think it might be now here in Mineola, Texas. What we see is just ridiculous. The things that people say and do, just unbelievable, unbelievable. I don't know how many of you saw the video of the secretary in charge of nuclear waste. If you saw that video, oh my gosh, can that man even be fit for the human race the way he is? He doesn't look like it to me. So we are kind of in that same situation, but it just seems like it's so much worse. So, last time I talked about the preparation for the birth of John, and I really just talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth in that pre-time prior to and up to about time of John's birth. And the thing that I thought was quite interesting about that was that Mary, once she found out she was going to have a child, she went to see Elizabeth. Now, I think that's really interesting that she did. But on the other hand, you know, when God says that He's the father for the childless, then I kind of am interested in the process, because as we get into this with Mary, there's not any mention of her family that I saw than what I was reading there. And I may be wrong, but there's not any mention of mom or dad or what have you. And I think maybe she goes to Elizabeth's home. And there's a whole bunch of good things about this, because what God has done is God has provided her with a mentor that's going through the exact, now get this, the exact same thing she's going through. Childbirth, a childbirth that shouldn't be really, because she's too old to have a child. And so the mentoring is just an unbelievable opportunity for her to share or learn from Elizabeth. So anyway, that's just the pre-thoughts. I also thought it was really quite interesting that as they met, Elizabeth said the baby in her tummy jumped. And I felt like, for the first time, it kind of sounds like to me that baby is acknowledging the Christ child in the womb, who's in the womb. The baby's in the womb. That's really very interesting if that's the case, and I'm not trying to tell you that it is, but it sure sounds like it to me. Why else are they mentioning that? So anyway, that's kind of... The other takeaways we had from that was that Zechariah didn't buy the program. He didn't believe it could be done, and so God took away his ability to speak. And only after he signed the paperwork saying that his name shall be John did God give him back the ability to speak. And then a little dinger in that verse there, the Holy Spirit indwelled him. And you see back in the earlier part, the Holy Spirit indwelled Elizabeth up front, way up front, because she bought into the program. She bought into this fact that she was going to go ahead and have this baby. So let's talk about Mary and the time before actual birth of Christ Jesus. The plan was, you see, their plan was that she was beholden to Joseph and she was betrothed to him. And in those days, apparently betrothal meant that what they would do is they would spend a long time really just getting to know each other without actually being married at all. And so she was in that period of time, and when the angel came to her. But God's plan is unplanned for her. I mean, God's plan interrupts what you like, what you think you're going to do. So let's turn to Luke, and I'm going to go through pretty much the Annunciation of Jesus' birth in Luke 26 through 38. Luke 1, 26 through 38. So, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. That's God's way of doing things. That's the way He did it with Zechariah, was God's angel, to a virgin, 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So, she's called a virgin by Luke. She's betrothed to Joseph, engaged to him. And then in 28, he said, the angel says, Hail, thou art highly favored. Well, what does favored mean? Well, he goes on to say, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. But its suggestion in the other commentaries that I've looked at, that, you know, to be highly favored is really grace. It's really the grace of God that He is giving her something over and above, just acknowledging her. And in truth and fact, when you think about it, be the mother of Christ Jesus would be quite an honor. And the angel said unto her, Fear not. And I say, oh yeah, I'll bet, fear not. Yeah, because it would scare me to death if the angels came. And as it is described here. And then he says, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And then he says in verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So, and then in 33, well, let me go back to 29. And Mary was troubled at the saying that, and I want to go back to 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Anyway, I think anybody that would go through that would kind of be concerned about, well, what's going on now, because this isn't in my plan. This isn't what I planned. Something unusual is happening. And then he says, I've found favor. And then in 31 he says, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. You know, if you think about it, this is not a common thing to happen. This hasn't happened before. There's no experience for this. So for somebody to understand that you're going to conceive a child, it's just not known, not experienced. So it's only reasonable that she does say, Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And it's an unknown. the events are unknown. And then in 32, the angel has said that he shall be great, he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and Lord of God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, ever, and is the kingdom there, and shall be no end. Well, this is the God, the King. How in the world can you really ever, and what would you think if that had happened to you? 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Wow, wow, wow. Oh my. So, one thing that is clear from this, she did not object to what he told her, that you will. She just asked, how can that be? How will that happen? How can you do that? How can you do that? How in the world can you get that done? It's just not what we have experienced. So, and then 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then he goes on and says to her, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And see, for God nothing is impossible. It works in the reverse. It works in the reverse. Nothing is impossible for God. So either way, God, it is possible for God. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now get this. This is whole big deal that she comes in here, upsets her plans, upsets her plan for marriage to Joseph, comes in, says she's going to have a baby, isn't going to be having known a man, and all of this. And she doesn't say no. She doesn't say, well, I'll think about it. She just says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, and according to the word, thy word, and the angel departed from her. So she accepted it right from the very get-go. Accepted whole change of what's plans. And I can just see the kids and the girls in my family and going through the wedding plans that they went through and all the things that daddy's supposed to do for that dang old wedding. I can just see the change of plans. I don't think I dared. I don't think there was a way in this earth that I could have changed up that. Risa, my oldest daughter, worked for a company that had a gay person working there, and they did flowers, and she went ahead and hired the gay person to do the flowers. I think he told me he got the flowers out of the neighbor's yard. But I don't know that. Anyway, it didn't change her plans, see? That was okay, whatever, however that worked, I don't know. But I don't think for me to step in and say, uh-oh, we're not going to do it with the big dinner afterwards for all your guests. We're not going to do that. I think if I'd done that, we would have caused a little upset or disturbed. But her plans are totally destroyed in what? 3-4 verses? Split seconds. And she's okay with it. What does that tell you about her? That tells you that either God's got a pretty good relationship with her, or more important, she's got a pretty good relationship with God. She's already got a relationship with Him. She's accepted Him. She buys Him. She believes Him. So she sees that what He's coming to tell her is what His plan is. She's buying into it. Well, yes. And we still don't know about parents, so we really don't know. You see what kind of training she had, but it's pretty obvious that she had some sort of a good relationship with God. Then 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Okay, now that's where Elizabeth lives, and of course, my thinking is when I read that, I'm thinking that, okay, I'm traveling into the hill country, so I'm going from Dallas down to Waco area or some down where the hill country is. That's not it. This town, Bethlehem, is surrounded by hills, so it's probably just going outside the town, city limits a little bit, so it probably wasn't really a long ways. Okay, well then, 40. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So she has come to Elizabeth's house. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I want you to see that if Elizabeth were thinking in terms of my plans, and then she gets interrupted with her plans by this God that comes in and tells her she's going to have a baby, and of course she really wants that, so she had to alter whatever plans she had, if she had any, because she thought that it wasn't possible. So she had to alter her plans, and she could have easily said, you know, why didn't God just make me mother of the Son of God? How come? Yeah. Why not? You know, why should I be just the mother of John? She didn't do that. She doesn't do that. She tells, and she spake out in a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So she... Huh? Elizabeth knew from... because she was told. But... And she spake out with a loud voice, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So, when she's saying you're blessed, you're extraordinarily a special blessing that you would get to be the mother of the Son of God. Which is also part of the fact that she had a good relationship with God. This demonstrates that she must have had a good relationship with God. Yeah. Well, and while you're talking about that, see if she really did have parents, are the parents disowning her? Because I, you know, in my practice, I had parents that would disown the girl if they came, I mean, came pregnant. They just flat disown them and put them out on the street. I've had girls in my office who needed some sort of legal help or something because nobody was going to help them at all. And so that could be the reaction of the parents, and may be part of the reason. We don't know that. We don't know why she went. Yes, and she doesn't address them because it's not of concern to her. She's so into and buying into the prospect of being the handmaiden, which she said. Sure. Yes. Yes. And then if you go to 42, and she spake out with a loud voice, and oh, I've read that. And then, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So Elizabeth's not only not upset or mad that she got the Son of God, but she's also saying, why in the world? Why in the world a woman so blessed would come to me? Well, I think Mary saw the obvious benefit of it because Elizabeth is going through childbirth for the first time. Mary's going to go through childbirth for the first time. It's an unusual set of circumstances. Elizabeth's child was not to be because of her age and just couldn't have happened except by God's help, and Mary is in the same position with respect to God making this work, doing it His way, doing it in accordance with His plan. And so, and then she makes it clear. Elizabeth makes it clear to Mary, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb. So Elizabeth understood that there was this was possibility of an acknowledgement by her son or her son in her womb of the babe in the other womb. Doesn't say that. I'm just reading that into there. And it may be that I'm wrong as rain. And then she says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So it's very clear, you see, and it's very clear from the very beginning that Elizabeth also believed that she would have the baby because, you see, early on in the verses up, dealing with Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit indwelled her. Interestingly, the Holy Spirit indwelled Elizabeth because she believed, did not indwell Zechariah because he didn't at the time, and did when he signed the name of John. It doesn't say that with regard to Mary particularly that she's indwelled with the Holy Spirit, but it's pretty clear she was. Pretty clear she was. Yes. Well, I'm going to go just quickly here to the Mary's what they call in my Bible Mary's Magnificat. And that's 46 through 56. And I wondered what that was. What is a Magnificat? Well, that's really a name of a song, apparently, in the old Christian people that did believe in God. Those people that were believers in God or faithful to God. That was a song from earlier times. And so basically what my information is that Mary is repeating as her posture substantially what the song, the Magnificat, which was the name of a song in earlier times, she's basically repeating that because she knew it. That demonstrates, you see, that she had a significant understanding of the faith and of God. And so this is what she says, and I'll just read through this quickly because we're approaching choir time. But and Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For he beholds, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Now here she's still, at this point, she's still being, because of the terminology here, she's still being very, very humble. And I think as she goes through this song, she becomes stronger. And it may be because the song itself helps her become stronger, but the wording then shows she's more definite about all of this. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he has showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in imagination of their hearts." Now see, he's talking about the people that we're talking about in our country now, those people that are evil. And the evil that we see now just is terrible, But she acknowledges that he's dealt with them. "He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and extolled them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house." So as she goes through that song, she really, because the song probably got stronger and stronger, she gets stronger in what her statements are and is more confident. And then the 56, "Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her house," her own house. And I'm interested that it doesn't say her home. And I'm interested again, why? Because my experience is, I don't care what the situation is, parents have so much influence over the kids. So if you're booting the kid out of the house because she did something wrong that you don't like, you still have 17, 18 years, 15, 16 years of influence in that kid. You are part of that kid, whoever it is. You are part of them. So here there's just no reference to her family, her side of this marriage. And I don't have any answers for that, but that concerns me. But it also explains why she relied so much on Elizabeth. And if God knew the circumstances, and he did, if he really did, then he also knew that she needed Elizabeth. So perhaps Elizabeth was God's plan before he thought about doing Mary, or after he thought about doing Mary? When did God dream up that situation so that Elizabeth would be such a good mentor? You didn't expect me to know that, did you? Yeah. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, we don't know some of that. So, anyway, let's see if I can share quickly a couple of takeaways on this that get to my note here. You know, this makes it very clear that belief is very important right from the very get-go. Belief in Christ just follows, just setting it up so that belief in Christ and the way God treated those that believed and those that didn't believe and buy into what he was saying and the truth of what he was saying and the way he dealt with it just makes belief so important. So, and then obedience. You know, Zechariah was ultimately obedient and the family tradition is you don't name John. You don't name that boy John. I mean, it's just not true. And Zechariah was obedient again. Named the boy John, wrote it on the paper, even though the family at the time, if you go back and read that verse, even though the family at that time was saying, no, no, no. So go with the family name. So just a couple of things. Now, next time, I want to go into the childbirth and the verses that discuss that a little bit. I was trying very hard with the Christmas season to deal with topics that don't have anything to do with our current events going on in our city, so in public. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for each and every one of the members and congregations here that are listening to my effort to share what I can gather from your word. We pray, Father, for each and every one of them. We pray for their families. We pray for our congregation. Pray for Lake Country Bible Church in its entirety, and especially for the leadership committee that will meet this weekend. We pray that you'll be with us as we go to the doctors. All of us have issues one way or another, and so as we go to the doctors, Father, we pray that you be with us, walk with us and talk with us, and lead us in the ways of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.